Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, Why Are People Into That fans. This is your host, Tina Horn, and you're listening to episode 10 of our podcast. It's finally hot in New York City, and when I think of summer in New York, I won't lie, I think is fire hydrants spewing water into the air and people running around cooling off in the admittedly really probably very disgusting contaminated water, but nevertheless refreshing. And anyway, you know, then when I start thinking about fire hydrants, I inevitably start thinking about cum and ejaculation. And so, you know, I figured for our first really hot summer episode that the best subject that we could possibly do would be a super soaked episode about squirting. Luckily, I had Ignacio Rivera over, and they could have talked about a lot of different subjects, but when I suggested squirting, they just lit up, and so I knew it was going to be perfect. Now, I have had a lot of sexy people on my couch on this podcast telling a lot really fucking sexy stories. James Darling was just here talking about fucking a girlfriend bent over her dorm desk while she was wearing high heels and nothing but high heels. And Melina Williams talked about pretending to be a pony, playing a pony and rolling around in the dirt. And Carol Queen was talking about watching somebody put a candle in his ass. I guess those are the stories that stick out to me, which maybe you can psychoanalyze me if you want, but those are the dirty things that I find sexy. I'm sure you've found a lot of things on this podcast sexy, which is why you're still listening. But I don't think anybody has told so many detailed personal stories of hot sex until I had Ignacio Rivera over. And that's what you're about to be strapped in and in for. Ignacio is, you know, a self-proclaimed sexual scientist, and we are all so lucky that they have such a vivid memory in addition to their natural adventurous spirit. So, grab a stack of towels, because your sheets are going to be soaked after listening to Why Are People Into Squirting?
And we're rolling, so will you say your name and say hello?
Hi, I'm Ignacio Rivera, a.k.a. Papi Cox. I'm a Jack and Janet of all trades, I guess. I'm an activist, performance artist, porn performer, wannabe filmmaker, writer, mother. All that and more.
So many things rolled into one amazing package. I'm so happy to have you on the podcast. Did we first meet when I was filming you for QBTV, or had we met before that?
No, I think, okay, if I could say the story.
Sure.
I think the first time we met was actually in Canada.
At a
play party.
Right. Yes, that's right. You spanked the shit out of me.
Yes, that was
yes.
it.
How could I? I'm blushing. Yes.
I remember that because I remember your ass, of course.
Right. That's what... Yes, it's very memorable.
It is.
Yes, that was really fantastic. That was actually one of the best public spankings that I'd ever had. It was totally like, I really need that every time I'm at a conference or, you know, because it's just like travel and overstimulation, right? And, you know, it's just the quintessential, like, calm in the storm where you get to, like, get up on the spanking bench and, like, have somebody, like, pay attention to you in the way that... that you happen to really love. Oh, yeah. And just
that's
be like
therapy. It's really, really like therapy.
It really is. And all you have to do is take it.
Yeah. Exactly.
God, that was also, I often think about that scene when I think about the ways that I am so much more of an exhibitionist about getting my ass beat than I am about sex, actually, is something that I've realized over the years. Like, I'm like, please put me in front of people and beat me, because I'm like so, I get like so much pleasure out of like showing what I can take in that way. And I feel really sexy when I'm, and I feel like my vision of myself being spanked is also really hot. So I'm like happy to be like sharing that with
You're such a giver.
There's plenty of my ass to go around for a whole crowd of people. But yeah, so you remember that as well. Yeah. Cool. And so then, I had seen Trans Entities, which is a film by Morty Diamond that you were in quite some time ago now.
Yeah. Like, was it 2006 or 7 or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a great film. And then I shot you in some porno.
Yes.
And that was really another great performance by you, and Jiz Lee. And whatever, and then we've been running around and crossing paths ever since. So what we're going to talk about today is actually something that is related to that porn scene that I shot of you, which is, why are people into squirting? And squirting is something that I happen to know that you are into, assuming that the ways that you perform, that you are the kind of performer that performs the things that you like to do, which I think you are.
Exactly. That's why it's not like performance. It's just I get to have sex with some really hot people and do the things that I like to do. So, yeah.
Totally. That's great. What can you tell us a little bit about? So when I say squirting, what does that mean to you?
Squirting. Why are people into that? I would say because it's fucking hot and it feels fantastic.
Yeah.
And I love to squirt, and I love to make people squirt.
Yeah,
so
same.
I come at it at both ends there. And when I think squirting, it's, for me, it's just this wonderfully powerful release of energy and fluid that comes out of your body. And I mean, depending on what's being done to me or how I'm doing it to someone, that fluid could just like spew out like across the room, or it can come out in trickles, but it's really a powerful I think body experience that happens.
I agree with that. I'm curious, I'm just gonna dive right in and ask you, because I know that so much of your activism and so much of your sexual performance and presence is about your gender queerness and your gender fluidity.
Yes.
And so I'm curious if what your relationship is to the fact that I think a lot of people, when they think of squirting, they would gender it and call it female ejaculation, right? So like squirting being like when, you know, fluid, ejaculation is involved in orgasm for a female person, but obviously people of lots of different genders ejaculate in lots of different ways. So can you kind of talk a little bit about like how ejaculation gets gendered?
Yeah, it's complicated, because like even when I do the workshops, I do a workshop, and depending on who I'm doing the workshop for, they have a say in what it's named, right?
Right.
So when I worked in one place, you know, they wanted to call it female-bodied ejaculation, and that was the middle ground, calling it that, female-bodied, putting the body in there, because it's not, you don't have to be female-identified, but maybe you identify female at birth, so that was the middle ground, which not a lot of people are happy with. Some people were okay with it, others are not, and I think because ejaculation or the money shot or things that come spewing out of your genitals is really related to and connected to men and men's sexuality, and that's, or cis men, I should say, cis men's sexuality.
Sure.
Because that's all, that's pretty much for a long time all we hear about, right? Because if you are identified female at birth, for the most part, you know, if I'm overgeneralizing here, you are raised in such a manner that you are supposed to be a good girl, you don't have sex until, you know, you meet the one, you only have sex for love, and all those wonderful things that might fit for some people, but not for everybody.
Right.
And so, when we think about sex, it always goes to the man, you know, this man having sex and pleasure. And when we think
taking up a lot of space with the
right
things that protrude from their bodies and mm-hmm. yeah, exactly.
And ejaculation too is also like very connected to, I think it's connected to in some senses like demeaning of women in some senses, right? Because of like that money shot, right? What is it that you see in a lot of porn? Is, you know, guys coming all over somebody's face.
It's like a claiming.
Right. It's like, I own you, I claim you, right? And then, of course, other people have owned that and taken it and done it in a different way and saying, yeah, come on my face, baby, because I want you to, right? So,
right, right. There's always the ability to,
right.
No sex act or body part or anything is inherently degrading because humans
right.
have the ability to use their imaginations
exactly.
and turn things, even if, like, I can say for me, like, come on my face, no matter, like, what gender or what body that comes from,
uh-huh.
can be, in certain contexts, hot because I have this script in my mind of it being degrading, right?
Right,
so
right.
it's like, degrade me by claiming me,
exactly.
by possessing
exactly.
me, by, you know, by doing this thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but also sometimes just on a more
right.
sort of like straightforward level,
mm-hmm.
it's just like reveling in each other's bodies and each other's fluids.
Mm-hmm.
But we can
mm-hmm.
we can get to that. But so
right,
going back
right.
to what you're saying about
also
gender.
I mean also when you think about ejaculation, it's about power. I think there's this power
yeah.
connected to it, like the a cis man can ejaculate and has the power to impregnate. It has the
right.
power, like this powerful force coming out, and you could visually see it, and that's the way you know that a cis man is actually coming, right? That's like
right.
for some people, they're like, this is how they come. You can't fake it, right? Although
right.
you can, but
you totally can.
But that's what we've been taught, right? And so with women or people identify female at birth, concentration on orgasms were never the focus. That
right.
was definitely never the focus. The focus was, you know, getting fucked or getting come all over you or something like that. Now, you know, in terms of like porn or how we're learning about sex, we're learning that, oh my God, women and people who are identified female at birth do have a sexuality and actually can orgasm way more than cis men can, right?
Right.
They have the ability to recover from orgasm and have more orgasms and have multiple orgasms and have combination orgasms and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So we have definitely a lot of ability around our sex, but it's taken a while to get there because it's been so hidden, right? Hidden under the have to be a mom, you have to, like, a certain way of how you have to be in the world, you know, like a whore shaming and shaming around just having, you know, a great appetite for sex and fantasy and stuff. To be a woman and to have that puts you in a category of something else. So I think that's kind of hidden all of those things. And on top of that, I remember listening to this person speak once about her ejaculation. I think she was an adult porn performer. I can't remember this person's name, but what she said was really important. She said that she started ejaculating at a young age, and she remembers the reaction she got from people.
Yeah.
That it was a disgust.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Something was wrong with her, that she, you know, and then she thought she peed herself,
uh-huh.
You know, because of course no one was talking about it. No one was saying this is a fantastic thing. And so she has such shame around her ejaculation that she controlled it
yeah.
and forced herself to stop ejaculating.
Right.
which also talks about the power of our bodies, right?
Right.
But she stopped herself from having it because she had such shame, and then later on in life realized that there was a fantastic thing, and then she started it up again and started being able to ejaculate. But it was just kind of a sad and wonderful thing to hear her story around that, because it's just how, in terms of gender, bringing it back to gender, how we are kind of put in these boxes about this is what your body can and cannot do, and this is what's right and what's wrong. You ejaculating like that, that's not something that women are supposed to do, and how we've suppressed those things. And I think this day and age, with radical sex education and, you know, queer porn, feminist porn, all that stuff coming out, you get to see people ejaculate, and it's hot. People have taken it, and this is fucking hot, and people want to know how to do it now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is so fucking hot. God, yeah, it's so interesting to think that, that sort of in a world pre-socialization, which doesn't actually exist, but just like a hypothetical, like, mm-hmm. you know, pre-socialized, pre-patriarchal world, that all bodies are capable of expressing themselves sexually in certain ways, of ejaculating, of having multiple orgasms, of having different kinds of orgasms, and that part of our ideas that we have of what bodies are and are not even capable of doing
right.
comes from patriarchal control
yeah.
and oppression and such that when we have to rediscover what our bodies
exactly.
were already capable of, and that even then that we would think of them as like, oh, women can do what men have already been doing or have
right.
already been capable of, but actually we were all capable of it
right.
the whole time.
Right.
Yeah. So what, okay. Man, there's so much to talk about. Well, let's talk about you. So, before we started recording, you were saying that you yourself had had your first experience. When was when did you start squirting?
That was actually so funny. The first time I actually squirted was with I was with my partner at the time. We were at that point together for several years, and our sex life was fantastic. I mean, so great. We were really delving deeper into our DS dynamic,
mm-hmm.
dominant submission. And I was the submissive in this relationship. And as I delved deeper into that, I realized how hot, I mean, how seriously hot DS and power play got me.
Yeah.
More hotter than any other thing that I've ever experienced in my life. So one day, I think my partner at the time was beating the fuck out of me. I mean, consensually, of course.
Sure.
Beating the fuck out of me, and I was loving every bit of it, and just, you know, punching and choking me and tossing me about, and he was a trans guy, bigger, you know, and I just loved it. It was just doing all types of wonderful things to me. And then he tossed me onto the bed, so I fell backwards onto the bed. And
mm-hmm.
there was, like, a bunch of pillows and everything there. So my ass was kind of lifted up, right? And so he starts fucking me with his hands. And I am just screaming. Like, I think all the neighbors could hear me. I'm screaming because I feel, like, this enormous pleasure going through my entire body. And I feel something happening, and I just don't know what it is, but I'm just like, oh my God, this feels so fucking amazing. Please don't stop. Please. And it's better than any fuck he's ever given me, you know, because it's just like,
which is already
intense,
like the bar's
right?
already really high.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
It's
yeah.
so intense. And, as he's fucking me, I look down and I see a stream of, it's just streaming. It's hitting him in the face, actually. Like, he's fucking me, and it's hitting him
in the face. And he's, like, unfazed.
Yeah,
right?
No.
Yeah.
And I am looking at it, screaming, and I'm like, oh, my God, baby, look at that. Oh, my God, oh, my God. And he's just like, you know, he wouldn't stop. And it wouldn't stop. I kept on ejaculating. Oh, it just would. It was like a never-ending stream. So when I teach my workshops, and they say, you know, in literature, they say, like, a teaspoon to, like, you know, whatever. And I'm like, no, I have fucking ejaculated, like, a gallon at a time. Like, a total gallon. So that was the very first time. And after that happened, I was like, oh, my God, I want that to happen again. So I started trying to figure out what it was. And later on, I mean, what it was that the thing that got me the hottest, you know, like, the thing that got me to that point was, you know, power play.
Right.
And so when I got into a really intense power dynamic or power play and then got fucked right afterwards, it was just like a no-brainer. But then I trained myself. So after that, I didn't need... I mean, power play is always fantastic, but I didn't really need that. I got to the point where I can make myself ejaculate, and I know what makes me ejaculate. Like, fists. Like, the 11. Enjoy 11. Mm. You know, what positions I can be in to ensure that I'm going to ejaculate. Like, all of those things. So, because I've practiced, I always make a joke and say, you know, like, this is about, like, experimenting. So, I'm a sexual scientist, and I'm constantly experimenting to see what is going to work, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow, I think we've had a lot of hot stories on this podcast, but that one, I'm like, wow. I like to imagine somebody, like, curious listening to this podcast who is maybe a little bit skeptical, and then, like, hearing a story like that and being like, how could anybody be anything but in all about squirting after hearing that story? Whew! Okay, but the thing that is interesting to me about that is connecting the two things that we've been talking about is I not everybody's body is capable of squirting, but more people's are than realize. And a lot of the reason that we don't is because of a lot of psychological stuff that can be related to physical things where we are tense, where we, like, don't let ourselves, like, let completely go. Mm-hmm. So whether that's because of the patriarchy or not, it probably is. But then in your experience, part of why you let go, like, your body let go so much was because your mind was so consumed by this thing that was, like, the hottest turn on for you, and also kind of like you were probably in subspace and just really not being conscious at all, and so your muscle memory probably was also, like, liberated from
and
from
also your brain. I am a heady person, so a lot of times I think too damn much.
Same.
That being in that power dynamic with my sir, who basically was telling me what to do, how to do it, you know, he was navigating everything, which I wanted him to do, allowed me to just let go and just experience everything that was happening. So that was the way that I got to it in the beginning, and I continue to, because I was like, I want to get there again. I want to feel that feeling again. And connecting it to that was great, but then afterwards, you know, I was like,
it wasn't like a fetish. It wasn't like it has to be exactly this way every time. Yeah. Exactly. It reminds me of... This story reminds me of, you know, that old adage that if you want to know what really turns you on, pay attention to what you're thinking of right before you come.
Right,
it's
right.
Like, you know, so, I wonder if Ignacio is really into this power play thing when they're squirting gallons all over all of everything. Can I ask how old you were when that happened?
I was in my... early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 42 now.
10 great years of coming everywhere. Right?
Yeah. Which, you know, it's funny. I started later on, you know, but...
You made up for lost time.
I did.
Committed it to celluloid a lot. Yeah. I'm sure you've come at least, like, you know, 100 gallons on film alone.
Oh, yeah.
I was just going to say that I've definitely talked to people, and I bet you have too, who... or even, like, the story that you were just telling, who started squirting from, like, the time that they started masturbating, like, even as adolescents.
Right.
Or even with their first partners. And then definitely some people for whom, like, hormonal changes in life get them to the point where it just starts happening, or different partners or different, you know, circumstances or activities will get them to that point. And for some people, they have to be scientists. They have to be, like, intrepid explorer scientists and say, for example, you know, once I started, you know, getting turned out and, you know, voraciously reading everything about sexuality that I hadn't already been taught or experienced, it was definitely something that was, like, immediately on my bucket list, where I was like, well, I've never ejaculated before, and these wonderful sex-positive books are telling me that I can, and so I will. And, you know, and they're also, you know, luckily, thankfully, giving, like, lots of really great tips about how to get there. So I was definitely like, all right, babe, we're gonna do this, this, and this, like, to myself and to my partners, you know. And it took a while, but then I got there. And there were definitely, like, I definitely, like, when I was single, I found that the thing that made me ejaculate the most was when people went down on me. Mm-hmm. And I think that part of that was because of encountering people who I, unfortunately, in my, like, trampaging life have encountered, have hooked up with some people who, like, did not want to go down on me, which is always, like, a way to not get a call back from me. You fucking flunked your audition. Because what the fuck is wrong with you? But yeah, you know, so, like, if somebody is, like, into going down on me, then it does, it also, like, gets me out of my cerebral analytical brain and into, like, yes, this person, like, wants to go to town. And that just totally makes me gush everywhere. Yeah. And I have also encountered people being like, ah!
Yeah, yeah.
Because they've, like, never, you know, and they're like, oh my god, I've never been with somebody who can do that. And it's like, well, what the fuck is your problem? You need to be fucking with more people like me. And what the fuck is the, you know, I feel bad for these people that you've been, you obviously haven't been doing it right.
You know, when I teach the classes, right, one of the things that I say is, you know, be your own sexual scientist, but never have that thing be the ultimate goal, right? Like, the journey is, like, the best thing, right?
That's, yeah, the irony is that sometimes the more you focus on it, the less likely it is to happen. With all kinds of orgasms,
right. So I'm like, don't even focus on it, just, like, take these steps, see what happens. And if it doesn't happen, that's okay. You know, like, it's okay. You just explore. Because that's the point, right? It's about exploring. Because a lot of times we as we talked before, it's like we have such a narrow view, or we're raised with such a narrow view of what sex is, or what, you know, yeah, what sex is. Because you think about it in this one-dimensional way when it is just so broad. So if you're taking this, like, journey to experiment, then you might find something else about yourself. It doesn't have to be the squirting. It could be something completely different. Like, you discover a new position, or you discover, you know, that you're a multiple orgasmer or whatever. I have been with folks who, you know, ejaculate as well. God, I mean, we have to have the, what do you call that?
The liberator.
Yes, I love that thing.
I need it. I need it.
I love it.
But sometimes, I have to say, so the liberator is basically I believe it's made by Sports Sheets. Isn't it made by Sports Sheets?
No, it's made by Liberator, right? That's the company, isn't it?
Well, who, you know, they're not endorsing this, so who knows? So who knows? But anyway, there's a wonderful invention that's basically like a waterproof, like, blanket. A
throw blanket or something.
Yeah, yeah. But and I have to say that sometimes, because you have to go get it, right?
Exactly.
Like, and so, you know, even if we, like, have it on the edge of the bed, sometimes the liberator ends up being the thing that we, like, put down over the soap sheets to sleep in.
Yes.
No, it's, but, like, a tarp.
No, now what I do now is, like, if I know I'm having a fuck date or something, I put it under the covers already. It's already set.
So smart.
But the one thing about it is that in the winter, it's great. In the summer, it's so hot.
It is.
Such a hot thing, but it captures everything. And I've been with people that their ejaculation is just a constant flow. It's just not even something that you're doing to get to. Like, you're not doing fucking to get to. As soon as your hands enter, it's just a gush. Like,
yeah.
It's a waterfall happening.
Yeah. Know?
So you gotta have the
spigot.
You have
it's
to have the
turned, yeah.
You have to have the blanket there.
Yeah.
Which is very hot, but just have to have the blanket because you would just be messing up your sheets constantly.
Totally, yeah.
Which is something I always tell people too. It's like, you know, people get to the point where, I think a lot of people get to the point where they have almost ejaculated but didn't know because they thought they were going to pee on themselves.
Right.
Or because they did it before and somebody told them they peed on themselves.
Or they don't want to stain the sheets, or they don't want to come on the person,
I'm like, to eliminate that thing from your brain, which is like our biggest sex organ. Put a thing down.
Yeah.
A towel, a chuck, the absorbent blanket, whatever it is, just put it down and don't even worry about it.
And then
always
forget
throw
it.
That in the washer machine afterwards, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, let's talk about what the fuck squirting is exactly physiologically. So first of all, the G-spot, it exists.
Yes,
can we please just...
I know. I fucking hate people that say it doesn't exist. It exists.
It's not even, it's not even, like, I kind of, it's an example of how I, like, live in a bubble, right? Where I'm like, oh, we're, like, so far past talking about whether the G-spot exists or not.
This is the patriarchy.
It's the patriarchy. No, but it's, you know, and it's very, it's quite, listeners, everybody, the G-spot exists, and it's funny, I feel like people are like, well, we haven't still found conclusive evidence, and it's like, this is not something that you have to really prove, going back to talking about being a scientist,
right.
I felt it, so I know that it exists. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, like, I'm sure a lot of people could feel that way about God, you know. Like, I felt God, so God exists. Oh, well, what's the evidence? I mean, anyway, it's something in the body.
Right.
I honestly don't even care if it's psychosomatic, you know. An orgasm, it is pleasure, you know.
Yeah.
So if you get there by psychosomatic means, then that's fine by me. But so the G-spot is the spot on the vaginal wall where the vagina presses up against I'm blanking on what it's called.
The urethral
sponge.
Yeah.
Thank you. I was going to call it the prostate, but that... yeah.
It's the spongy tissue that surrounds the urethral tube, I guess, that goes from what we call the pee hole all the way to the kidneys, you know, the bladder. So that's why it feels like you have to pee, because it's pressing up against it. And if you have a full bladder, of course, it feels like you have to pee. So.
Right, and that's the feeling that we associate with needing to pee, but you are... You're smarter than your body.
Right.
And your body is, you know, you can master your own body. So during arousal, and perhaps particularly when one is particularly aroused, there's, you know, the more aroused you are, the more blood goes to the area, then the more engorged that area becomes, erectile tissue in certain bodies becoming engorged, and then so during arousal, the urethral sponge, which surrounds the urethra, becomes engorged with fluid, which then presses up against the wall of the vagina, and so then during the contraction of orgasm, or even just, as you were saying, like, for some people, just, like, the fact that they're engorged just means that fluid is just pumping.
Right. All right. You can have an orgasm and ejaculate at the same time, or you can just be ejaculating without an orgasm, or you can have an orgasm without ejaculating. So all those things can happen like that.
Totally.
Yeah, when you press in, like, everybody's G-spot... Well, everybody's body is a little different, so they say up to 2 to 3 inches in.
Right. Come-hither motion.
Come hither towards the belly button, pressing up on that. I think that's why fisting feels so fantastic. And fisting, for me, is that's just a surefire way for me to ejaculate.
Right.
Because it's really filling me up, And especially depending on how you're holding your hand, if the thumb knuckle
right
is pressed upwards towards the belly button, that's hitting the G-spot right there. It's fantastic.
I've had experiences where I have witnessed fisting happen, where also then the fisting is like kind of effectively like plugging
up all of the fluid,
and then you know, maybe the person knows like now is the moment to pull the fist out during orgasm, and then like all of this fluid that has been like, you know, effectively like plugged up or like, you know, trapped by the fist is then freed like this breaking dam and then it's like the fist comes out and with it comes like a, you know, explosion.
a waterfall.
Yeah. And that's nice.
Yeah. That feels really good.
Yeah. and yeah, so then there are definitely some really awesome sex toys that are designed with certain shapes, certain curves that are designed to stimulate the G-spot. The G-spot tends to like pressure, and then art can be a really good way to practice getting to the point where vaginal orgasms and ejaculation can happen for folks with vaginas or front holes or whatever they like to call them. Yeah. So, my God. Let me see. What do I have in my notes? Do you think that... Have you had the experience, or have you talked to other genderqueer or trans folks who feel hesitant about their relationship to ejaculation because the, you know, this other layer of weird gender constructs that squirting has been deemed like female ejaculation, so that it's something that they don't know how to relate to because maybe they don't relate to their anatomy being called a G-spot, or they don't, or all the literature out there is so gendered and is like in the vagina and female orgasm, et cetera, et cetera. Do you have comments on that?
I definitely have experienced folks that feel that it is way too gendered and they, you know, can't talk about it, or they've renamed it for themselves, right? So, and also there's a connection to ejaculating via being fucked, right? So,
right.
So, I think, unfortunately, there are trans people who do love to get fucked, but it's something that they kind of push, you know, to the side because... supposedly, you know, as a trans man, you don't get fucked, or people are not going to see you as a man or as masculine, which is unfortunate.
Right.
If you truly do like being penetrated, because of course I know there are people who are stone, and getting penetrated is not their priority. It's not something that they'd rather be penetrating someone else or whatever. Everybody has their own identity or ways they interact with their body. But if someone is not doing something because it doesn't fit what, you know, society is telling them, and in fact, like, hindering their sexual expression, it's really sad. And I've talked to a lot of trans guys who will say to me, or because I, you know, I've been called a homo, which I am, so I tend, you know, I'm attracted to other trans guys, or, you know, and I hit on them, and a lot of times I get, you know, turned down, or people say, you know, I'm not into that. I'm, you know, I only go out with straight, I mean, so I'm heterosexual. I mean, not heterosexual. I'm heterosexual, so I only date women. I only date women.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, fine, you know, but there are, quite a few of them that say this, and once we get into it, I feel very privileged that they let go with me. I feel very privileged about, because I know how hard it is to let go sexually,
right?
And so they get to experience things, and they they like it. You know, it's like they're showing me that they actually like this. They like to be penetrated and feel all these wonderful feelings and orgasm that way. But I think it's so connected to, you know, feminization, you know, so they think being fucked is being feminized.
Or even, like, going back to the subject of squirting, that even just... Like, when we talk about, like, gendered arousal, when we about, like, masculine arousal, we talk about being hard.
Yeah.
And when we talk about feminine arousal, we talk about being wet, right?
Right, exactly.
So, like, I can definitely see how, for somebody mm-hmm. who is, like, really, has had to fight for their connection to their masculine identity, mm-hmm. it might be, like, another step to... Right. Embrace like their body's ability to right. like to get wet, you know, and mm-hmm. obviously and to liberate the idea of wetness from gender right, per se. Right.
And also, I think talking about it publicly, because some people might be engaging in these things just fine with their partner, they're not talking about it publicly, you know, or they'll deny it, but they're doing it, which is, you know, unfortunate. But I feel like there definitely has been. That, you know, that kind of barrier there. But I also know a lot of people who have taken that and just call it their own. So they might not.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I say, you know, I'm getting wet, you know, or, you know, they'll say, you know, I like to get head, you know, using that terminology rather than right. something else, you know, or, you know. Like I say, I remember, like, even masturbation, like, the term masturbation, I rarely hear, like, a cis guy saying, like, I masturbate.
They always say, like, I jerk off, right?
So, you know, I say a lot that I jerk off, too, you know.
Yeah.
I use kind of both of them. I'll say I masturbate and I jerk off because, you know, I'm fluid with all the shit, right?
Yeah.
Everything is fluid for me. But even little things like that make a big difference for people, right? So instead of saying, for some people, I've heard somebody say, you know, like saying going down. Guys don't say going down. They don't say that. They say suck my dick or give me head. Or so it's like changing words around to really make things feel more comfortable, to own it, you know, to own that for themselves really makes a difference. And I think if we... think about like ejaculation in a different way, which is kind of hard, right? Because I think about how would I say it, right? Because just saying coming doesn't quite indicate the, you know, this wonderful rush of fluid that's coming out of your body, right?
Right.
For cis guys, it's like ejaculate or I came, when they say I came.
But well, it's like synonymous,
right.
Even though we now know
that
cis men can have an orgasm without ejaculating
exactly.
for many reasons.
Right. So
yeah.
That's synonymous, but for, you know, someone identified female at birth, it's not. For someone to say I came doesn't necessarily mean that you ejaculated.
Right.
So
right. Right.
It's like creating, I guess, new terminology or something that fits for people to say this.
And when you when I think about people talking specifically, like if I was like describing a sexual encounter and I was talking about and I wanted to say that ejaculation had happened, I would probably use words that are associated with taking up a lot of space, right? So like she just came everywhere,
right? Right.
Or,
mm-hmm.
Like I came all over
right,
her face.
Exactly.
I came all over the sheets. I soaked the sheets.
Right.
I, you know, which goes back to the idea of like of our pleasure, of like female pleasure taking up space,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And also like, you know, like ruining things like sheets and couches and
right,
you know, car seats and clothes and carpets and
right.
you know, whatever.
Yeah, I tend to talk about it in that way too. Like, you know, I soak the floor, or I soak this, or something like that.
Yeah.
But I definitely have to think of another way that I would want to say that, because even ejaculation, like to say, when I say I ejaculated, it seems so technical to
me. It really does.
You know, it just seems very technical.
I don't know that many cis guys who would say, like, no. I ejaculated.
No, they wouldn't say I ejaculated. They say I came, or, you know, I shot my load, or something, And I don't like shot my load, you know. I guess I got to think about that. I got to think about what word I would change, how I would just say that.
Also, unfortunately, squirt, I don't really think of as, it's a diminutive term, right? It's a little condescending, frankly. Yeah. I mean, it's what we've got, and I'm fine with it, but it's like, I'd rather, if that's the word that we need to use to fucking talk about it, and that makes that people feel comfortable talking about it, then that's fine. But, like, I don't find the word squirt very sexy, like, either as a noun, like, look at all that squirt on the floor, like, but also, like, I'm gonna squirt all over you, baby, not really.
No, that doesn't do it for me either.
I mean, you can be really specific and be like, I'm gonna squirt, or I'm gonna come so much that it's gonna drip down my leg or something like that.
But yeah, being specific, yeah. If you're doing some good dirty talking, maybe that can fit into it, right?
But certainly. Well, this is just another ringing endorsement for dirty talk. Yeah, you know, I did just want to say about talking about stone identity and folks who, for whatever reason, having to do with gender or not, who don't like to be penetrated, or who choose not to be penetrated, or it's part of their identity not to be penetrated during sex. I definitely know people who can squirt from not being penetrated.
Oh yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. I know someone who can ejaculate or squirt, or however you want to say it, with their fucking mind.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like, they can will themselves to do that. And I know people that can do it with, you know, external stimulation, rubbing. You know, there's a lot of ways, because it's, of course, we all know that the clit or the knob or whatever, all of it is connected to the urethral, you know, the urethra and the sponge, so you can get there through your ass, through the front hole, through the clit, all that. So
vibrators are great for for everything. I think for some folks, like a vibrator, perhaps even a very strong vibrator like the Hitachi, or we're supposed to call it the magic wand now. Hitachi doesn't make it anymore.
Oh.
It will always be known that way. It can also help people to let go in that way that we were talking about before, where that the really strong vibration can kind of take over and take you out of your mind, and that's a good time for ejaculation to happen.
It's interesting, because for me, vibration is not necessary for ejaculation to happen. So my ejaculation comes strictly from being penetrated, being fucked. So whether it's a fist or my stainless steel wonderful toy, or getting fucked with a very hard silicone toy. So not the soft Vic skin. Although I love those, because for, like, the one that I have as for my dick, that is my skin tone, I love it. But to ejaculate, I need one that has a good ridge and it's pretty hard. So
that's the thing that's great about stainless steel toys, and also glass, or even they have, like, they make wooden toys, and that obviously they have, like, an enamel over them, so no splinters. The hardness of the material that the muscles can really bear down on seems to be something that is really helpful with ejaculation for a lot of people as well, which is again why a fist, or even a hand with, like, a certain angle and certain pressure.
The very first time I made myself ejaculate was pretty hot, because I was with my partner. Well, I was in a triad at the time, and so I was with my two partners, and we were getting it on, and we were all in the DS dynamic. And I decided that I was going to sit back and watch them get it on and fuck. So we had been like fucking for like a good hour or something. So I kind of laid on the floor about, I would have to say, maybe 4 feet away from them while he was fucking her. So his back is to me, so I just see his ass pounding and pounding. And he's just fucking the shit out of her. It looks so good. She's screaming at the top of her lungs.
Ignacio, thanks for coming over and telling me all these stories. I'm going to squirt from just listening to this, editing this podcast. Okay. All over the keyboard. Anyway, there. So you're, no, go back to what you were saying.
So he's pounding. Like, he's totally pounding her. Because we were both his submissives. So he got done with me. So I'm kind of like,
all used
there.
Up.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm sweaty, everything. He's pounding her. Her legs are in the air. She's screaming at the top of her lungs, and he's just going at it. So I decide to lay down on the floor about 4 feet away, and I grab a dildo.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm leaning on my back, kind of on my back, like halfway on my elbows and stuff, so I can see what's going on. My knees are up, and I start fucking myself. And I fuck myself really hard and fast, and that's the way. So I'm doing it really hard and fast, and then I'm about to come. And as I'm doing it, I start letting out this like moan that comes from like the tips of my toes, from the top of my head.
Mm.
And as I'm doing it, I release the dildo from my hole, and I ejaculate. It goes all the way up into the air, and it goes all the way and splashes him on his ass. So he's fucking, and all of a sudden, splat. He turns around, the both of them stop and look at me, and they're like, what the fuck was that? And I'm there, completely, like, drenched in my own fucking cum all over the place, with the dildo in my hand, and saying, you guys are fucking hot.
Oh my god, it's like a fountain. That's a great story. Reach out and touch somebody.
Yeah.
Here come. Well, a couple of things that I am thinking of when I hear that story is, first of all, good advice for folks to squirt is to fuck for a long time,
yeah.
Right? I think, like, I'm definitely somebody who, I think part of my, like, sexual insatiability and voraciousness comes from the fact that, like, I get more turned on and have harder orgasms when I've been fucking for longer, mm-hmm, right? Like, mm-hmm. The first ones are good.
Right.
I'm all about a quickie. That's great. But, like, when I've been, like, stimulated a lot, it just, you know, I'm just, like, wound real tight. So I need to be, like, unwound and unwound and unwound and get out of my head and get out, you know, yeah. All of that stuff. So, but also just physically, just like any kind of workout,
mm-hmm.
The more you work, the more limber you become, right?
Yeah.
And so you become more relaxed, and, you know, and so long sessions, I think, are also really great,
mm-hmm.
for that and for different kinds of orgasms.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because the longer we went, the more I was turned on. So
sure.
And then especially just watching completely. That's another thing, like watching really good porn.
Yeah.
And doing it, fantastic. Totally turns me on. And it's, of course, getting me out of my head because I'm watching what's happening there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that's interesting is just to sort of differentiate between this sort of gushing, like, just super wetness that for some people is, you know, is like cum or ejaculation, and then there's, you know, I feel like squirting specifically tends to refer to, or even I guess ejaculation technically will refer to, like, it actually, like, becoming airborne and traveling mm-hmm. in a rainbow
right.
the air, or like, you know, reaching out and smacking someone in the face, right? So, and that tends to be from, like, the contraction of the muscles during orgasms,
right.
Or certain positions. I mean, I definitely know there are some porn sites, and I've definitely been to some parties where people have, like squirting races, where they try to see, like, how, like, who can squirt the farthest.
Right.
Which is fun.
That's awesome.
It's a fun game. Or who can squirt, like, fill the most, you know, of a measuring cup. Not that it, you know, that a contest can be fun. Not that it always has to be.
Right, right.
Not that more is necessarily better or further is necessarily better. It's all about what works for individual people. But do you think that there are certain sex positions that are good for squirting?
Yes. I always, I'm a fan of standing up, one leg up. On a chair. I'm a fan. Because I have popped many cherries for people who have told me, I you know, after I've done my workshop, they're like, I've never ejaculated before. And I'm like, well, let me help you out. So I've been a lucky motherfucker, because I have to say, after a workshop, I've probably fucked about, you know, 10 or 20 people after a workshop. Because I was at a conference once where I was in my hotel room and there was a line. A line of people waiting for me to fuck them so that they could ejaculate. And I got each and every one of them to ejaculate.
Wow, you're a stud.
So, people who have not ever. And usually, my fail-proof one is standing up. I always say, you know.
Gravity?
I don't know what it is. Because it works for me. When I want to make myself ejaculate, I do that. I grab my 11, I stand up, one leg up in the air. It's just like, it's a surefire thing. It's always going to happen. So I figured, you know, I get them and I start off with just, you know, getting the mood right, you know. So they're all waiting. So, you know, it's like a little, it's a little hard to get into this, like, this sexy thing. But I do a lot of touching and groping and then a lot of massaging of the genitals and stuff to get it really, get somebody, like, feeling a little hot. Sometimes I'd use a blindfold so that they can get out of their head.
That's a good tip.
Yeah, totally. Just don't even look at what's happening. So
can I take a picture of you while you're talking?
Yeah.
Because I love the way that you are gesticulating when you talk about sex, and I feel like the poor listeners are missing out on that part. But anyway, so continue. Yeah. Just ignore me.
So I am just you know, massaging the genitals and stuff, and using a lot of lube to make it nice and slick and wet. And sometimes even talking a little dirty, or I have their partner or friends, you know, sucking on their chest, talking in their ear. So it's a community effort of people helping out. And then, you know, I get them to stand up and I start fucking them in that way. And I've been lucky and I've gotten a lot of people to ejaculate in that way. I did a workshop once where a nurse was in the audience, and afterwards, we talked afterwards for a while, and she said she had never ejaculated, and I gave her some extra tips, and the next day, she found me and, like, gave me the biggest hug ever. And I was like, oh, thank you. And she's like, I ejaculated last night for the first time. And she's like, I can't believe that I ejaculated for the first time. No, and I'm a nurse, and I know how the body works and everything. And it's just because of what she's heard. You know, all the bullshit that she's heard before. And then she went to this, you know, sex positive conference where I was doing this workshop, and it was a little different because we had a demo bottom and all that.
Right.
So, yeah, I have been very fortunate to, you know, pop the cherries of being people's first of ejaculating and or fisting. Which I love. I was actually going to make t-shirts that say Poppycocks fisted me or Poppycocks made me ejaculate.
I think that you would probably make a lot of money. I would wear it even if it hadn't technically happened. Would you, like, only put, like, people in the club, like, are allowed to have it, or just... No, you would make a lot of money on the road that way, I bet.
I have to do it because I tend to, you know, people... And it's just, it's really like a... Hey, I heard that you do this workshop, and you know, I've never. And I'm like, oh, let me come this way. I'll show you.
Right. Step into my office. Well, you're a saint. You are. It's a you're a public servant. And yeah, it seems to me that once people are empowered to have that experience once, then it can. For many people be easier to then talk to their partners about it or do it with themselves. Yeah, for sure. I want to go back to the subject of people's anxiety about pissing, because I think that, I think that sometimes, more than people being shamed just for coming everywhere and, like, staining the sheets or being like, what is that? I've never seen that before. Is there something wrong with you? Also, sometimes, depending on how hydrated you are,
ejaculation has a very distinct, potent body smell. Mm-hmm. And I have definitely encountered people being like, oh, well, that's a really strong smell, and I'm like the kind of person that's like, the raunchier the better, so it smells like a person, that's a good thing. Right, also, right. Who cares what it smells like if you're experiencing pleasure, but can you speak to that? Have you had experiences with people being turned off by the smell of ejaculation?
No, I actually, I don't think I've ever smelled ejaculation that was, like, nasty or anything like that, or strong or anything. I usually say that ejaculation doesn't necessarily have an odor. It's kind of odorless, but it could smell like something depending on diet, like you said. So, but nothing I've ever smelt made me feel like, ugh, you know, like, this is bad.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I think that I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that you're also probably not somebody who's necessarily going to be, like, disgusted by something just smelling like human.
Right. No, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Well, I guess all I wanted to say for folks listening out there is that, is not to be ashamed if your ejaculation does have an odor, or that it is a sign that something is wrong with you, and if you're fucking with somebody who doesn't like it, then you can fuck somebody else, or fuck yourself, because that's just very adolescent.
For folks who they themselves feel like, I don't like the smell of my own ejaculation, and you want to change it, I mean, it's about, like, sometimes it's about hydrating a little more, drinking a lot of water. Also, any kind of fruit or fruity thing, like pineapple juice tends to be, like, the best thing to drink. It actually makes you taste a little sweeter, and it might, you know, change the scent if that's what you want for mm-hmm. yourself. And it's, you know, it's good to drink pineapple juice. It's fine.
It's also fucking delicious, right?
So, but, you know, sometimes diet does, if you're a smoker, if you drink a lot of alcohol, or if you drank alcohol that night, you know, so there's a lot of things that can factor into the amount of fluid or the lack of fluid, or maybe even the smell. So there's a lot of little things there that can, change or shift fluid or odor.
What do you love about making people squirt?
Oh, God. I fucking love the reaction that I get from people. Almost, also too, even the fear, that little fear that happens just before, right? Because it's like I'm fucking them, and I love to do a lot of eye contact while I'm fucking, or even when I'm playing or doing any kind of power dynamic. I really love doing eye contact. So while I'm fucking them, I'm looking at them because I want to watch how they're breathing, how they're reacting. Mm-hmm. And that there's a moment for some people that comes where they're like, wait, you know, like, just hold on because I think I'm going to pee, or I can't handle it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm
kind of... It's getting very intense.
Right. And I love that point because they feel it. They know what's happening. Their body is getting to that point that it feels so intense, you know. But they're just scared to go over that little hump, and then I'm there to talk them through it. You know? So it's just like that piece where I'm just like, you can do it. It's okay. You know, it feels good, or, you know, or you feel so good. I'm like, oh my God, whatever they call that area, whether it's their pussy or their hole, I'm like, your pussy feels so fucking good. And, you know, and I'm just starting to fuck it harder. And I'm just like, look at me. And I'm, you know, and I'm fucking them. And I get to see how they take more and more as I am talking to them, as I'm calming them down, you know, and then when they're you know, their breath kind of, oh, you know, it's like,
Ignacio, you have to stop this.
It's like that piece where they're, you know, they're getting there and they just don't even know what else to do because this is such a new feeling, you know. Uh-huh. And it's like, and I'm just like, push. And I tell them to, like, just let it go and push. And there's a scream and a moan that happens that's different from a clitoral orgasm, I think. Mm-hmm. Or even from an internal orgasm that's different from this ejaculation that happens, especially if it's ejaculation and an orgasm together.
Yeah.
There's a different, like, even when I come that way, it's just, it's a deep kind of a expression that comes out of my body. And so I love to hear what that is.
Yeah.
What is that pitch that's going to come out of this person when they hit that point? And also their facial expression in looking at what is happening.
Yeah.
You know, I love it all. I just love the newness of it. I love the surprising, you know, factor that happens, or how good it feels when they flip from 1 second to saying, no, wait, to fuck me fucking harder right now. You know, like,
don't
give it to me.
Stop.
Yeah. Don't fucking stop. You know, and it's like, I love it. It's like a flip because they pass that hump and they just want it full force. So
yeah,
that's what I love about, you know, making people ejaculate. Like, it's just a wonderful feel. And I love to feel all that shit just splash all over me.
Yeah.
I love it. It's splashing on my chest, on my arm, when it's running down. And I'm talking to them about it and saying, you know, look at all this fucking juice. You're making me wet. And I'm like, you're fucking... I'll talk shit and say, you fucking ruined my shirt. It's all fucking wet with your juice. And, you know, and they're like, I'm sorry, while I'm fucking them. You know,
like, sorry, not sorry.
So I love that all. I love it all. And I know because I love it because also because I personally experienced that. And I know how wonderful that feels. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's, okay, so, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, so it also seems like, if people are fluid bonded,
mm-hmm.
That it can also be a wonderful expression of intimacy.
Yes.
To, you know, if you like fluids, if you like sweat, if you like cum, you know, if you even actually like piss.
Yeah.
Which is a whole other podcast, but, I mean, that's one thing that you can say to somebody if they're worried about pissing is just be like, do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you piss on me, that's great.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, not, you know, whatever people are into, but that I feel like that can be one way of getting people sort of over the mm-hmm. the self-consciousness. It's like, if that's not a bad thing, then you might as well
yeah.
just let go. But yeah, I mean, for folks who are fluid bonded or who, like, you know, choose to, who feel comfortable with such things, you know, like getting fluid, you know, like drinking somebody's cum,
mm-hmm.
getting somebody else's cum, like, on your genitals, using somebody else's cum to, like, as lube, to
right.
fuck yourself, you know, just everybody getting, like, slippery and all of that. That's all good stuff,
oh,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're very worried about the bed, then do it in the tub.
Do it in the tub.
Do it in the tub.
Do it in the tub. Yeah, exactly. That's what tubs are for, I think.
Yeah.
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 Or
exactly.
On the kitchen floor. Whatever, man.
Well, yeah, the kitchen floor is good.
another thing that we were talking about before we pressed record was that you were saying that you had also used, that once you discovered that you could squirt, that you used it in sex work?
Yeah. So, when I was doing, like, pro-dom work, as a woman, for a couple years, and so, it was interesting, the dynamic, because I was a little bit more, of course, I was more masculine than the women that were there. I was bigger
mm.
than the women that were there. And the few women of color that were there were different. I was much more muscular. So I got chosen a lot for wrestling
mm-hmm.
And for foot worship because my foot is a size 10. And muscle worship.
Cool.
And stuff like that, you know, so that was a good thing, but that was rare, you know, like, the people have to really be into that to want
yeah.
to do that. So I was trying to think about what's going to be my niche that I can make some money here, because the women of color there weren't getting as much play. So there was, like, a race dynamic, there was definitely a body dynamic going on and stuff. So
and you were, and that's so interesting, because you were essentially doing drag.
Right.
Right? Where, like, I think that we've talked about this before. You're, like, wearing a wig and, right. like, what, you know. So you're, like, femming up
mm-hmm.
and, you know, looking really hot, I'm sure. and I mean, this is also a whole other podcast, but I've also had the experience of being, like, no matter how much I fem up there, and I think that I've, like, gone through all of these signifiers, mm-hmm. people are still, like, it's like they can smell
right.
the gayness on you.
You're too queer.
Yeah, it's so interesting. But anyway, so, and some people are like, I smell the queerness on you and I'm gonna, like, come running and, like, worship
exactly.
at your feet, right?
Exactly.
And then some people are like, there's something I feel would feel gay
yeah.
by just being near you. And yeah. it's like, yes.
It's funny because a lot of the clients I had would often ask me if I was a lesbian.
Right.
You know, because in drag, they still sense that I was something else, I guess. But anyway, so I figured, you know, what could I do? What would be different here? And so I started advertising that I would give ejaculate showers.
That's awesome.
So that was my thing, ejaculate showers. So, and they loved it because I would just, you know, have them lay down under me. I would fuck myself right over them
mm-hmm.
and come all over their face or their chest or wherever they wanted me to come on them like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
So that works for me very well, especially because they couldn't fuck me. And so they could view myself, fuck, you know, view
right.
me fucking myself.
Right, right, right.
So that worked for very well for me for a while. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I've done and seen that as well, because, and then it's so interesting because you get to interface with people for whom the idea of a woman ejaculating or someone they perceive to be a woman ejaculating
mm-hmm.
is like has literally never
yeah.
crossed their
exactly.
minds. It's never, it's not on their radar at all
mm-hmm.
and I'm like
yeah so I was like, this is a market here.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. That's fascinating stuff. So, okay, and then another thing that you wanted to talk about was when you did your fabulous Farewell to Your Uterus tour,
right,
that
right.
you were, concerned that, that you wouldn't be able to squirt. So
right.
can you, first of all, tell us about the Farewell to the Uterus tour.
So, because of, medical stuff, fibroids and things like that, I have definitely suffered for many, many years, around that region, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally, I decided, oh, also because I had insurance for the first time in a decade, that I was going to have a hysterectomy.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the times before, I was just terrified because I was like, you know, I've known people that said they got a hysterectomy and their sex drive went out the window. And then others that said it got better.
Mm.
So that 50-50 split was just too much for me. I was like, imagine my sex life just ending. I'm a sex educator and I work in porn. Like,
yeah.
That would just be horrible. So
yeah.
So then I was like, okay, so then I have to prepare myself because this is going to happen. So let's do... I was talking to a bunch of friends and we kind of were joking around about it. And I was like, I'm going to do a tour to say farewell to my uterus so that I'm going to fuck and have as many orgasms as I can before the surgery. And then after the surgery, when I heal, I go on the second half of it and go fucking again to see if anything changed, to see if I could still have orgasms. So that's exactly what I did. So I fucked my brains out for an entire month, which was awesome.
Uh-huh.
And then I had the surgery and then healed. It took about 7 weeks to heal, a little longer. It was a little more complicated. I was in surgery a little bit longer than anticipated. And around that time, too, I had started taking testosterone a month before my surgery.
Mm.
So that was quite interesting, that whole mix.
Yeah.
And so I healed and then I decided, okay, I was going to go forth. And thank God, thank the goddess, thank the universe, that I kept my ability to orgasm.
A little thing like a hysterectomy is not going to stop you.
Well, I was terrified about losing it, though, or like not being able to get it the same way.
Sure, I mean, I'm sure that even if
like, hormonally, physiologically, if things had not gone the way that you wanted them to, I'm sure that if anybody could get your groove back, that it would be you. I'm sure that there are people who have, you know, who lose their sex drives for various medical reasons who can, like, explore lots of different things to get it back.
And that's what I was ready to do. I was like, I said to myself, okay, if I come back and I can't have the orgasms the way I want, then this is my journey now. It's to find how I can get back there. So I was ready either way.
Sure.
But thank goodness, you know, when I got back, the first time that I was... because I was already fucking, because especially being on T, my sex, like, the thought of sex was just constant. And while I was healing, I was supposed to be healing, but I was jerking off, like, every fucking day. Like, just nonstop. So I knew that I could clitorally, like, have an orgasm, but I didn't know if I could ejaculate, and I didn't know if I could come internally.
Right.
So the first time that I was actually with another person, I actually came in a way that I had never come before.
Oh, cool.
Which was, I came internally and externally at the same time.
Awesome.
So I was like, oh, score. Total score. And then I ejaculated by myself. I made myself ejaculate with the 11. I did that. And I was waiting because I didn't know if the 11 was going to hurt me with, you know, healing and stuff. But I did that, and I was able to ejaculate as well. So I was like, oh, thank goodness. And I had talked to other people who ejaculated prior and told me, yes, I was able to ejaculate after the surgery. So that was great. So, you know, being able to have orgasms and ejaculate and my sex drive, possibly because I was a horny person anyway, and I'm totally too because of the testosterone, just gave it a good, you know, bump up there. So all is well in my crotchal area.
Well, mazel tov to you. That's great. What an inspiring tale. Well, I feel like we've talked about a lot of really dirty things and kind of covered a lot of ground. Do you feel like there's any sort of dimension of cum, squirt, ejaculation, that we haven't touched on yet, so to speak?
Well, one thing I will add to the uterus tour was that not only was I doing that just to fuck and, you know, see if I can keep my orgasms, but it was also an opportunity to talk to other people, whether they are women who have had hysterectomies because of complications or because menopause or whatever, and then also trans men. And it became a really awesome thing because it was a really a big open dialogue about, you know, getting fucked and coming as a trans person. So I'm like, I am a trans person and I am going around and I want people to fuck me.
Yeah.
You know, like, so people are like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I like to get fucked and I want to come. And so I got a lot of messages from other trans people saying, like, that's inspiring, that's so good that you can just talk about it, like, openly, and, you know. And I'm like, you know, I know it's hard sometimes, but this is my pleasure, and I want this. And so sometimes you just gotta dive right in and just do the thing that scares you the most.
Yeah.
And that's the way I do it. Anything that terrifies me is the thing that I dive right in to doing.
Well, you're an excellent role model. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and having so much wet, juicy conversations. And what is there anything that you're up to now that you want to talk about?
Right now, I'm gonna, you know, just continue on with my blog, What They Said, which is on polypatalproductions.com, which will be up again. There's maintenance issues happening right now, but it should be up soon. And hopefully my one of three books that I've been saying, I've been, you know, telling people that I was going to write, will be out in the summer, which is Sexual Relations. And it is a book of short stories and poetry that talks about my nasty and interesting sex life.
Yeah. Okay, well, I've got my credit card out. That's exciting. Cool, and we'll have all of your info and ways that people can find out more about you on whyarepeopleintothat.com. And now let's go make some curry.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Is it hot in here? Are you lying in a puddle of your own juices? I certainly am, and I hope you are too. Now, if you need toys to help you and or somebody you like a lot to ejaculate more, Smitten Kitten is the place for you. They have the best toys for G-spot stimulation and such excellent customer service to help you find the right toy for you. You can visit them at smittenkittenonline.com, and there's a link to their website on our website, which is whyarepeopleintothat.com, where you can also listen to every single amazing episode of Why Are People Into That for free on our fancy website. You can also subscribe on iTunes, and if you just want to poke one of those little stars so people know we exist, that would just totally make me cream my panties. So if that's something that you want to do, just real quick, just poke the little star. My panties would appreciate it. You can also show us some love by liking us on the Facebook and saying hi on Twitter, which is at IntoThatPodcast. And, of course, at Tina Horn's ass. Okay, see you next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.